was the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome yourself to the podcast.
Hey,
settle
mate.
In, you know, get comfortable wherever you're listening. I don't mind. Driving, toilet. you know, maybe you're at the doctor's surgery, killing some time there. Hopefully it's a good result for you.
Yeah, I wonder if people still actually. I wonder if COVID got rid of those magazines in the waiting room.
I'm going to the doctor's today, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, because that is keeping me awake at night.
They would be riddled with disease, because they're old as hell.
Like
the National Geographic's out there.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're always, you'll get some pages that are like stuck together and you're
oh.
Like, and they'll always be like really old. It'll be like from like 97.
Yeah, it's like breaking news. Princess Diana's wearing this in summer. You're like, oh, that's not the news. What the hell is
97.
Going on here?
And that wasn't the news.
Okay. No, well, no, it was. What was she? 96.
It was 97.
Was it 97?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's a.
Anyway,
we could sit around this and make a few more jokes if you want.
No, we won't. No, we won't be making jokes about that.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Alan, Mother's Day. I'm trying to move it along nicely.
Yeah. What's Prince William getting? What is that?
No,
too far.
I'm not engaging.
I'm trying to be this professional. Let's get in the podcast clue.
Anyway, Mother's Day is this Sunday, guys. Just a little okay, please explain what you're laughing at, because
it got so messed up so quick and it's all my fault.
It did, yes.
It's all my fault and I didn't mean to, but I love it. It's just hilarious how...
It's so funny. Every now and then, because like, Alan, you're my senior.
Five months and 24 days.
And I'm a very immature person, right? Like, I own that. But every so often, I will see a level of immaturity with you.
Yeah.
And this isn't a gripe, by the way.
Yeah.
But I will forget that there is someone more immature than me.
Well, I live my best life. That's why. I'm
yeah,
in touch
good on
with
you,
my,
mate.
You know,
like,
it's great.
Maturity's overrated.
I don't know. Like, I mean, no, you know what? I was about to go back to where we were. Well, I'm going to leave it in the past. I'm going to leave it there. people are waiting for the podcast.
Yeah, let's
for the letter.
Let's just give them the letter and the question.
All right, cool. Just let them know what's on your sheet.
Oh, in front of me?
Oh, I guess I'm the mature one. Printed mine up this morning. Your letter is P for Papa on Monday. Gettable. Ooh, a little bit hard, but I think you'd get that one. Or maybe that. All right. Name me, starting with P, a horror film.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Porterhouse steak.
That is your horror because you're a vegetarian. Yeah. But for most other people, they'd probably say something like Poltergeist or Pet Sematary.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Pet Sematary looks freaking terrifying.
Yeah. We only normally give one answer in the letter, so I don't want to say anything more than that. But just unrelated, maybe like watch a bit of tennis or something.
Oh, okay.
Maybe know like a tennis player
name.
This
is not my round. Do not engage in the tennis. I refuse, and I hate horror films. So
yeah. I think you get across those things, you probably have a good answer, a good chance on Monday. It's Friday, so I think that's where we should probably leave the podcast before something inappropriate.
I mean, the
comes
wheels
up again.
Have already fallen off, so
I've just got all the worst things going through my head as well. Hey, happy Mother's Day as well to all the mums on Sunday. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I'll be getting something.
What? Why? You're not a mum.
I'm a dog mum, and I know that's so millennial of me to say, but Russell always gets me something and writes it from Gabby. Oh, I assume that's what happened. I mean,
Alan, you're so immature. Really, guys? Really? This is me looking right at the listing, looking at them going, really? They know. Enjoy it. Hit breakfast with Alan and Carly, and we are very excited for this.
What is it about dogs? And just when did they become our best friends?
Hey.
Whatever the attraction, we know that an animal can make a home. In a small town on the edge of Australia, a group of people work to save the lives of the lost and forgotten, the unloved, and the let go.
Oh, it is. The show is called Take Me Home. It premieres tonight on Channel 9. And that small town they refer to just happens to be Karratha, where Sue Headley works as the founder of Safe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Holy moly, first of all, this is a show that's going to be like right across the country, focusing right on Karratha and the amazing work you do. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like a dream come true, honestly. Just pinching myself that it's really happening.
Well, it's a dream come true for me as a viewer because it's everything I want in a TV show, Sue. It is dogs and it's happy endings. So it is the ultimate feel-good TV. And it also highlights the work that you guys do. I know that you guys have been working tirelessly for years and years.
Yeah, look, it's truly mind-boggling for me and such an opportunity. It's nearly 20 years on and I've got 11 branches. I've got people who are trying to save every life while working around paid work because we don't have funding to pay people. They've got families and, like, I'm just so excited for all my branches to know that this could bring the help that they so urgently need, and we do need paid staff, and we want to sustain safe, you know, long after I'm gone. I really want to build that organisation to be long-lasting and to keep saving lives. I think this is just such a wonderful chance to get the word out. And, of course, the foster care model, because mm-hmm. I'm so passionate about it, and animals are still kept in cages as a way of caring for them. And we're not fanatical. It's like cages are important when animals are being quarantined or behaviourally checked or those sort of reasons. But for us, the main way of rescue is definitely the foster care model, where they're not, you know, they're just kept as part of the family.
Yeah, 100%. And you've seen so many success stories where dogs and cats have come from, like, bad situations and they've just turned into brand new animals after they've finished living with their foster family.
Yeah, I often say to people, it's, we take them from hell to heaven because we just see transformations. You know, some people say, how do you keep going? And it's like all those transformations, you know, to have them come in so sad and so, you know, with dogs covered in ticks, with cats just frightened, and then to watch them blossom when they're loved, it's just so incredibly rewarding and it just gives you energy to keep going.
Yeah, I love that. Now, whenever I watch a show that's filmed anywhere near around where I live, I got to be honest, I get distracted because I keep looking going, oh, that's my school. Oh, that's the Oval. I assume we're going to see a lot of that on tonight's episode.
I would imagine so. Yeah, based in Karratha, I've kept that top secret, in the promo. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of that, and people will recognise themselves and places in town and where it's filmed. Quite a bit of filming out at the airport at Qantas Freight, where we're always flying them out, and in people's homes and parks and different places. So, yeah, I guess a lot of the viewers who are from the northwest will be watching out.
So how did this all come about? How did Little Karratha end up on this national show?
Well, it started off when the company called Producer, who are the producers of it, they made a show, Desert Vet, and through filming that up here, they got to meet Safe and see what we do. So Maddie from the producer organisation came to me years ago and sort of broached the idea, and it was capital letters of, you know, YES, please. It took a while to come to fruition, but they all landed with film gear and all ready to start the show, lights, camera, action, and it was all go on and off all last year.
That's great. Oh, well, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll see a lot more enthusiastic people putting their hands up after watching the show. It's tonight on Channel 9, 7:30. Everyone, get around it. If you're from Karratha, you'll definitely recognise a few places. It's called Take Me Home. Sue, thanks so much for the chat today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to talk.
Did you ever have a haircut that made you cry?
We're going to do a bit of self-correcting here. Like, we're going to try and balance it out, the bad hair days with good ones going forward.
Well, yeah, hopefully we can help them out, yeah, moving forward. Let's start with Muriel in Busselton. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing really well. Begin.
So it was in the 90s when I was in primary school, probably 94, 95, and the bangs were actually first popular back then.
The bangs.
A couple of the Madonnas of the world and whatnot had them. And so I thought I'd do it myself and put my fringe and everything in a small little ponytail and just snipped. I think it was probably less than a centimetre long. Beautiful little pocky fringe happening.
I'm thinking of something like the Something About Mary style, because that would be sticking up at that stage.
Centimetre long?
Oh, it was probably worse than that. It was pretty horrendous. I tried every way possible to get out of school, but my parents weren't having a bar of it. So I had to sport that one to school.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was
no one to blame but yourself.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty much a glutton for punishment.
I blame Madonna. let's go to Donna in Collie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Donna, I'll tell me your haircut that made you cry.
All at my mother's fault. When I was younger, I decided I needed a trim. I had waist-length hair, and she decided to give me the old-fashioned bowl cut.
No!
Literally put a bowl on my head and cut around it. And I was constantly asked for a long time after that whether I was a boy or a girl.
A little bit
traumatic, and I think I'm still suffering side effects of that now.
Yeah, you've never been able to make anything out of a bowl or eat out of a bowl since.
No bowls. And, my hair is long and it's staying long. So
yeah,
look
good.
Like
yeah, no, 100%. I remember, kids, they don't get it because I remember, bowl cuts were
thing. They really were, yes.
Oh, wow. Donna.
I know. I'm trying not to give away my age.
All right, let's move along seamlessly. Kelly and Bunbury. Kelly, your haircut horror story. What happened?
So tomorrow I'll be 41, but when I was in year 7, so what, 12, I had luscious long hair down to my waist, but I was starting a new school and I was a little too popular with the boys, so my mum took me to the hairdresser.
Okay.
And she got me it was basically a girl's mullet. Do you remember Rachel's hair in Friends?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But it wasn't popular when I was in year 7, and so the new school stopped talking to me, and on my year 7 graduation, my boyfriend dumped me.
Over a haircut.
Yes, and I've never forgiven my mother for that. I'm 41 tomorrow and I'm traumatized to this day. So.
Wow, you can't watch any episodes of Friends. I didn't realize that a bad haircut caused so much deep trauma for people.
No. Kelly, I'm with you.
I totally get it.
I had that same pain.
Here's the punchline. Those queen bees that were picking on me back then, they tried to request me on Facebook and I was like, keep moving.
Literally
the
opposite of Friends. That's great. Let's go with Isabel. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Your haircut horror story. What happened?
So I was a hair model for a little while in high school, and the hairdresser decided to give me a mullet, which she then bleached, and they used so much bleach that my scalp actually wheat for about 3 days.
Oh, my.
And they had to give me milk baths.
We did ask the question, did a haircut ever make you cry? We're thinking more from emotion, not from physical pain.
Yeah, we didn't think that your skull would actually be physically weeping. Wow, Isabel. I think she deserves a good hair day after that.
Yeah. You know what, Isabel?
Hopefully your hair's grown back after that, too.
Have you got long hair now?
It has, luckily, yes.
Just a giant hole somewhere in the middle of it. Hey, let's give you one of these. You can have the mermaid hairstyle. My God, one for
yes!
you. Wonderful.
And I've got another one to give away.
Thank you.
Let's go to Donna in Collie, who survived the bowl cut era. Donna, we're going to give you one of these as well. You okay with that?
Thank you so much.
There you go. Wow. Happy Mother's Day to everyone else. And just keep it in mind next time.
Yeah.
There's a learning experience for all of us in those stories. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and Big Brother Royalty vs. New Contenders is premiering this Monday, May the 9th, on Channel 7 and 7 Plus, where we're going to see some new housemates, but more importantly, bringing back some of the ones that we grew up watching, Carly.
Yeah, and one of those joins us now, Tully Smith. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good. Why possibly would you want to go back into the Big Brother house? Why?
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, right? Usually you get this chance once in your whole lifetime. And so to get a chance at round two to go back and do it all again and possibly win the 20, 250K, why would I say no?
All right, good point. I'm sold.
Would you turn down a chance to win, $250,000 for a second time?
I honestly would. Because living with that many people that close, just the sleeping arrangements alone, being that close to people while I snore, gives me anxiety. So no, I'd pay $250 not to be in there, to be honest.
Oh, you're a snorer. I'd be sleeping well away from you.
Yeah.
Well away from
you. No, you wouldn't be sleeping.
Hey, Tully, you're not the only one coming back from the old crew. Drew is coming back as well. Obviously, a lot of us are very excited, wondering if the flame is going to be rekindled. But first and foremost, do you and Drew have partners outside of the Big Brother house?
I do. I went in with a boyfriend who's lovely, much nicer than Drew. I was floored to see him in there. It was interesting to say the least.
Was your partner worried about you going into the house in case Drew was there? Because it didn't work out for your last partner
when you went into the house.
No, he wasn't worried at all. He had complete faith in me. It's been a long time, guys. It's been like 10 years.
I know, we're still holding on though, aren't we?
I know. I think everybody else is frozen back in 2013, but we've both grown and changed, and it's been, a good 9 years in between then and now. So, no, he had no concerns whatsoever.
Well, I'm still wearing flare jeans, so I can confirm I am still back in 2013.
They're back in.
Oh, damn it. I better stop wearing them. Back to cargo pants for me. Tully, so this Big Brother season versus the original one that you were on, it's a completely different show in the sense that, yeah, sure, you're still living with each other. You're still having to, budget and have these random challenges. But it's more almost like Survivor in the way that the voting works. Are you prepared for that?
Oh, my God, guys. I knew. I love the show, right? So I've watched every single season that's ever happened, including the three on Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew full well how much the game had changed. But therefore, I also knew how much I was going to suck at it. really... really suck at it. I mean, here in Melbourne, we've been in lockdown for what feels like a couple of years. So my gym routine is kind of non-existent. I'm old as well now. That's the other thing about there being
all right, you're not old. You're literally our age. So enough of that.
Okay, but I'm older. I'm older than I was last time. I'm a good 9 years older.
I like that.
I was 25. I was 25 last time, and now I'm 34.
Speaking of different, obviously it's a different Big Brother voice than the first season that you were on now. Which one do you find sexier? Is it the one now or the one before?
Okay, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I had this beautiful kind of flirtatious relationship with my first Big Brother.
Yep.
This new one, he's mean.
Yep.
He is not here to play games. And
he literally is there to play games. That's literally actually what.
You're right. He wasn't there to play my games. He wasn't accepting my usual, batting of the eyelashes and flirty technique. He wasn't having any of it. But that was my first Big Brother. He at least sort of flirted back a little bit.
All right, so write that down. Tully doesn't like new Big Brother because not flirty enough. All right. Hey, good luck to you. We're looking forward to watching it this Monday, Big Brother Royalty versus new contenders. Thanks so much for the chat today and good luck.
Thanks for having me, guys.
One man has spent all his life working at the same company for 84 years in a textile area in Brazil. He got the Guinness World Record for the longest time spent at a job. And hats off to him. 84 years. That's a long time. He's 100, by the way, doing that. But we wanted to ask this morning, kind of flip the topic and ask, instead of the longest time you've been at a job, what's the shortest time that you have worked at a job? Carly, what for you, roughly 9 hours at a job you never actually got employed for?
Yeah, it was like a job trial. Remember when they used to do those, the unpaid job trials? As a 17-year-old, I did a lot of those.
Yeah, no, same. Absolutely. Well, let's open up. Jan in Bunbury, good morning.
Morning.
Jan, what was the job, first of all?
It was a local cafe.
Okay, cool. Yep. So you're there going to make some coffees, I'm sure, and do an absolute ripper job. And how long did it last?
4 hours.
Now, was it a mutual decision? Were you like, this isn't for me? Or was the employer was like, she's not the best at serving coffees?
Yeah.
No, it was because of the owner and employer.
Yep.
I walked out. It was my decision. She was smoking while making your burgers and preparing your lunch in the back kitchen. And I could not stand that.
Yep.
Not this day. This was the start of this year. It wasn't years ago.
Oh my God!
Well, look, if you're eating a BLT and the bacon's extra smoky, you know why.
Yeah, Jen, I don't blame you. Amazing. Yeah. 4 hours, all right. Well, 4 hours
to beat. I think you should maybe segue into some health inspection work, maybe.
Yeah.
That could be a new career for you.
Let's go to Phil. Morning, Phil.
Yeah, g'day, bunch. How are we?
Yeah, we're doing well, mate. First off, what was the job?
Fruit picking in the back of South Australia there.
Oh, fruit picking. That's a hard job. Hard work.
Yeah, we were doing oranges. One of my exes said to the bloke, there was a tractor and trailer parked on the hill. He said, have you ever driven a tractor before? My ex-girlfriend said, yeah, I drive them all the time, no worries. He said, all right, I'll leave it with you. She jumped on the tractor. Tractor started rolling down the hill. She's jumping up and down. Where's the brake? And all oranges going everywhere off the trailer. Sacked is on the spot. Bang, see you later.
Wait, so how long were you into the shift?
Sorry?
How long have you been doing the job for?
No, I did it for about an hour. And I told her to move the tractor.
1 hour. So 1 hour.
Didn't know where the brake was.
Yeah, wow. Phil, 1 hour in. That is, that. Well, there you go.
That's the record.
That, I don't think anyone's going to beat that one, but that is incredible.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.